The recordings have started. Speakers, you may begin.
Thank you very much. And welcome, everyone, to this ICANN's Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN's Accountability call. This is our regular call for Tuesdays, and this is our call number 30 for 28th of April 2015. As usual, may I remind you to fill in your statements of interest if you haven't done so, and if you have had any difficulties doing so, please be so kind to approach a member of the staff, and they will happily assist you on filing your SOI. This call is going to be an interesting one, as usual, and we will be going through all changes that have been made to our draft report document. And, of course, this is a draft report that we will be submitting for public comment soon. And with regards to roll call, we will be basing attendance, as usual, on the Adobe Connect room attendance. If there is anyone that is not connected to the Adobe Connect room but is attending through the phone bridge, I would kindly ask you to state your names at this point so we can add you to the roll call. Is there anyone that is attending through the phone bridge and not connected to the Adobe Connect room?
Yes, this is Jim.
Yes, Alice Munoz here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I listened to Alice Munoz, and I listened to a gentleman, but I didn't get his name.
Jim Baskin.
Jim.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am sorry. I couldn't hear the name of the lady. Well, I believe we do have another lady on the phone bridge, but I couldn't get her name. So, staff, I kindly ask you to try and find out on the recording who this lady is. And, well, without no further delay, I will begin this call. As you know, we had a very intensive session, last week, and we went through the draft proposal for public comment, and we went from each of the different points in this draft report in these calls, and with regards to this document, of course, we received a lot of feedback from the community and a lot of feedback from rapporteurs, coaches, and everyone who's been very hardworking on putting this document together, as well as, of course, staff that has been wonderful in support. And we made different additions. We tried to go back on reviewing the document, reviewing the different comments gathered on the different sessions. And the purpose of the call today is, of course, to review the different feedback that was received and has been incorporated to the document. And since this has been a lot of information, there might be, of course, points missing through the document. Everybody working on the document has made their best effort and provided their best to ensure that all comments provided during our intensive working sessions were duly incorporated to the document. But as I said, since this is a lot of information, there might be some points that anyone could have missed. So if that is the case, of course, we would welcome anyone detecting any missing points of or issues, raising them so we can contemplate them in the next version or the reviewed version for public comment. With regards to sections 1 through 5, we went through introduction and background, of course, the methodology that has been adopted by the group. We have our definition and scoping document, which has been reviewed several times. And we also have the inventory of 16 icon accountability mechanisms and the input gathered from the community in the first stage of this exercise and the required community powers. We have integrated different comments, different reviews. Robin and Jordan made wonderful contributions to the document. We have some documents that are still, or some edits that are still pending on being reflected in the document. And as I said, our intent is to review the document, and I see my co-chair, Matthew Whale, hands is up. So, Matthew, could you please take the floor?
Thanks, Leon. This is Matthew Whale speaking, and hello, everyone, for this call. Before we dive into the substance, I think that we owe you a couple of precisions on the document you're seeing here. It was circulated to you, to the mailing list, only a couple of hours ago, and that's apology number one. It's definitely later than we expected. And because it's a large document, it is possible that some of you have not received it if your email servers have size limitations. And so the URL to check to get the report is in the notes on your right in the AC room and have been pasted, and I will paste it again on the chat so that everyone has the document and can have a local copy. And obviously it is also the one that is displayed in the AC room. And you will notice that to be completely transparent, we have fought, and staff especially have fought a long and hard battle in the last 24 hours trying to produce a document that would incorporate the various items we discussed last week. It was an unequal fight between machine and men and women, and I think the machine won. So we've lost the red line version in the battle, which is why you will not find the edits highlighted as you would certainly expect. We'll take you through those edits as much as we can, but be assured that was not our intent initially. So that's apology number two, and I think that's worth mentioning before we get into the substance. And having this in the notes, I think, is also important. Thank you, Leon. Sorry for interrupting you.
No interruption and no harm done. Happy to always listen to my coaches. So, with regards to points 1 through 5, of course, we made some additions and enhancements to the document with regards to the introduction and background. I don't know, maybe staff could give us a quick walk through the main updates that were made to the document on these points. I see Thomas had us up, so Thomas, can you please take the floor?
Yeah, I guess with respect to the changes that have been made to the first section, we reflected Robin and Jordan's suggestion, a revised wording on the notion of ICANN remaining accountable. You will remember that Robin had suggested to use a different phrase because some in the group felt that ICANN wasn't as accountable as it should be. So that's been done. There has been a suggestion by Izumi, which is either reflected or will be reflected by Adam, and maybe Adam can speak to that as we move on. And then what I think is a major point, and we would like to hear some feedback from the group, is not that much content-wise, but structure-wise, because there have been requests that we make it easier for the community to follow the report and spare them the effort of going through lengthy introductory chapters before coming to the substance. So we are currently planning to move the initial 5 sections to appendices and just have a management abstract at the very beginning to then get to the to what's now Chapter 6, soon to be Chapter 2, where we introduce the new accountability architecture. So what you're seeing on the screen in the Adobe and what you've received in your inboxes or can find on the wiki is still based on the current structure of the report. We thought it might be easier for the group to navigate the document if we don't change numbers of chapters, which will also have an influence on the page numbers. But we will move 1 to 5 to the appendices later on. And should there be any concerns that we do so, please let us know. Otherwise, we're going to come up with an updated version that reflects exactly that change once we have a little bit more robust version of this document. And we've also taken good note of a suggestion that was made by Cavus, and that was the introduction of a glossary to make it easier for those who are not too familiar with all the terms and acronyms to follow. So these are the changes that have been administered to sections 1 to 5. And with that, I'd like to give the opportunity to co-chairs or rapporteurs to add more specificity to the overview that I gave, or otherwise we can, or you should maybe, Leon, open it up for questions from the group.
Thank you very much for this, Thomas. I don't know, maybe Adam, would you like to comment a little bit on the different updates that you went through on sections 1 to 5?
Hi. Excuse me a second, I've got a bad echo on this. Is that better?
It is. Thanks.
Yes, I think the primary change that needs to be introduced, and apologies for not having it ready, it's the machine battle with the report has taken up a little bit more time than expected, is to reflect comments from Izumi about ensuring that we are clear about what the CWG requested in the terms of the accountability mechanisms that they anticipate from us, and that section will be written up to emphasize that not only have we taken account of this, but this is something that the CCWG has been working towards anyway under its own account, so there is a very solid overlap in intention, both planned because the chairs have been working together closely and because it logical outcome that's appeared independently through both working groups' activities. The other updates are broader in scope, and Thomas has spoken about a lot of those. I think it's also worth mentioning we also are reflecting Cavus' comment in this particular document that this is not yet a consensus of the CCWG, and I think that was an important point that he has made on other issues. I think I can stop there, if that's all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I see some comments on the chat with regards to moving, of course, these big chunks of information from the report to appendices. I feel that we're having a sense of support for this issue. So if we agree on that, we will, of course, be moving those pieces of information to appendices. And next on the queue, I have Robin Gross. Robin, could you please take the floor?
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me?
We do hear you.
Okay. Thank you. I wanted to bring some attention to some of the new material that's been introduced into Section 4 under the inventory of existing ICANN accountability mechanisms. So we've got about four new pages of new material, of new accountability mechanisms that have been added into this draft, and I'm really concerned because we haven't discussed any of them. These were not findings of the group, let alone agreed to. You know, talking about the headquarters as being in California, so anybody can sue, and that's an accountability mechanism. And the board of directors documentation policy. I mean, there's a lot of problems with that policy. So we haven't discussed it as a group. So I'm not comfortable putting these things in here as so anything that we've had an inventory of. These are new material. This is all new material from on pages 17 through 20. So I'm just not comfortable putting these in as findings of the group since we've never discussed them. I mean, frankly, they read like ICANN PR pieces and not a serious review of these processes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin. Next in the queue, I have Malcolm Hardy.
Thank you. I actually agree with what Robin just said, but I don't think it's peculiar to that last point. I think there's been a lot of things that we haven't really bottomed out a discussion on, and we're really having a problem of lack of time here. I haven't chimed in on some of the more acrimonious discussion on the list about the lack of time because I didn't feel that was useful, and we seem to be on a track. But there is a problem there, and I think Robin has put a finger on a very specific example, very clear example, but I think there are more. But the reason I put my hand up was actually for a less substantive point here. It's about how we make this report readable for the public that are going to comment on this and raise these issues. I read through this report today for the first time within my head how I will actually go about assessing and responding to it on behalf of my community and how I will be consulting my own community on that. And one clear thing came up then. We really need to number the individual questions that are put to the community for ease of reference so that this will support certainly people in replying. It will absolutely support people who have to ask others for a group view before they reply on their behalf, and there are many of us in that position, and it will certainly assist the CCWG when it comes to assess the replies from the public comment in identifying which ones are being talked about. So it became clear to me for the first time when reading through this that clearly identifying individual questions is essential.
Thank you very much for this, Malcolm. We agree with you. We have discussed this, and we're working towards making this document, of course, easier to read and comprehend by the larger community. And we will be working on a summary of the whole document. And, of course, we will be concentrating the different questions for a quick reference. And we are also working with the people from Explain to have a graphical explanation of what's the proposal being made, so it can, of course, provide us tools for better understanding and having an easier way to manage the document. Next on the queue, I have Kavus. Kavus, could you please take the floor?
Yes, good time to everybody. I have three comments. One, with respect to the Robin's comment, I think the information is useful, but could be qualified as the as follows. The following information is taken from the available documentation of the ICANN for ease of reference, and it has not been discussed in CCWG. Therefore, it is only included here for information. I think it is useful to mention that, but we should give the qualification that we have not discussed that. This is number one suggestion. Number two suggestion, I think perhaps it might be good either to include the charter or cross-reference the charter by hyperlinking the charter, because the people should know what is our charter. I'm sorry, I have not read the version 4. I read version 3. It might be there, but I'm sorry if it is there. I apologize for that. The third issue is when we refer to CWG, perhaps we should also refer that CWG has recently put their proposal, second version, for public comment, and cross-reference that by either a hyperlink or any other way. It also be good. These are the small three suggestions that I made. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the suggestions, Kavus. The documents that you mentioned are already in the appendices of the document, but it is, of course, very welcome and useful, the suggestion on hyperlinking on the text itself to the document. So we will be reviewing that, and of course, I mean, it's not difficult to do so, so it's well taken, and we're grateful for that. Next on the queue, I have Alan Greenberg. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Thank you. A very mundane suggestion. Since much of the document is not paragraph numbered, it may be useful. I presume we're not going to fix that or change that in this version. It may be useful just to have line numbers for the whole document. Otherwise, it makes it exceedingly difficult to point to some particular area where, you know, it's part of an unnumbered section and, you know, with multiple bullet points. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. We will go through this as well and have a proposal to enhance the reading of the document. So,
just be clear, not the reading of the document. Make it easy to be clear what you're commenting on.
Good. Excellent. So I take that Robin will be sending an email with the points that she finds problematic on the text. And I don't know if Malcolm, is that an old hand or a new hand?
Apologies. That was old. My apologies.
No problem. Thank you. And, as Thomas was saying, the glossary was prepared by Adam, and of course, we would encourage you to review it. And I see a comment from Holly Gregory that lawyers should have the chance to review the document, and this will, of course, be essential, Holly. So we will be letting you go through the document and review it. We can move to the next section of the report. And for that, I would hand the floor to my co-chair, Matthew.
Thank you very much, Leon. This is Matthew Vey speaking. I am moving now to the sections regarding accountability mechanisms. So it's starting on section 6, which is page 21. We have added on page 22 a little bit of wording to explain the graphics on the overall accountability architecture. And this part, this is the first time you're seeing this part, so obviously you still have time to comment on this. It's a summary of a kind, but so there's no new material in this. Then section 6.2 on page 24 was reviewed by Becky as rapporteur of Work Party 2, and the main change is that, as discussed during the intense work days, we introduced the notion of, instead of commitments, but we used the word guarantees. So we have mission, guarantees, and core values.
and we've made sure we've ensured consistency across all documents when we referred to that, which was a challenge. Caboos, do you want to comment on this one?
I'm sorry, I apologize. We could not say guarantee. Nothing could be guaranteed. No one could guarantee, but we can commit, but we could not guarantee. There is no mechanism to guarantee something, but we could commit, but not guarantee. Never legally you could talk about guarantee. No one could guarantee anything. It is a commitment to do, and they are committed to do. But I have some difficulty, if you agree, not to replace commitment or committed with guarantee or guaranteed. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboos. I thought this was an outcome of the discussion in the intense work days, but it was not a decision that was carved in stone. Becky, would you like to comment on this? You may remind us of the overall conversation we had around the word commitment. You in the AC room, but not sure if you can answer right now. Okay, Becky is probably partly unavailable. So we have this wording to finalize on guarantees and commitments, and I think Caboos is raising a good point. And so we'll keep that as an open discussion. The section 6.3, if we move, okay, we have removed score control to be sure we are all on the same page. Please use your local copies to scroll through the document yourself. Section 6.3 is about the fundamental bylaws. If we had a red line version, we would see a number of changes here because during the intense work day, we realized there was a mismatch and this section was not the right one in the right place. So we introduced this memo that was written by Jordan as well as Becky about fundamental bylaws, and we took that on board for the document at this point. So that was the main change. And section 6.4 is the section on the independent review panel. And this one, following the very significant discussion we've had, has been enhanced significantly. We have included the outcome of the discussions that took place during the intense work days, including the fact that we are so the possible outcomes of the IRP. So the fact that an IRP decision would only be confirming or amending or canceling a decision by the board. But on the other hand, it would be final and there would be no other appeal. We have also mentioned that we had some confirmation from legal that such an outcome was legally feasible, although, of course, devil is in the details, as usual. And one of the key open questions here is whether we want to keep, there's a lot of questions and open issues through the section, and we have, either we can leave them here, or we regroup them at the end of the section so that there's a whole description and then the questions and open issues gathered. And I think that's the key aspect of change here. We've tried to reflect the discussions we've had during the intense work days. And in terms of introduction of, and then of course we have the section 6.5, I would
about 2465, reconsideration process. Not many changes because we had some reasonable amount of agreement on the text during the intense work days. And so it is very much still in the same on the same text that is provided here. With that quick overview, I would like to turn to Caboos for another comment.
Yeah, a very small comment. I think on the title of Section 6.4, we don't need S after enhancement. It should not be enhancements, because enhancement is a general word. Is not quantified. It should not be quantified. When you say enhancement, that means you have enhancement 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as we are talking in general. So perhaps we don't need S at the end of enhancement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboos. I don't know if Becky has joined the phone line yet. If so, probably she can provide a quick update on these sections that she's been working on with in the last few days. She spent a number of hours on that. Becky, are you through in the audio? No, probably not. Okay. So, Caboos, I assume it's an odd hand. Based on your...
Sorry. Yeah, I am still looking at maybe for the wrong version. In section 6.4, I see two times question and open issues. Is it wrong or is it now corrected?
Thank you, Caboos. That was the point I was referring to. There's currently in section 6.4 several points where we point to questions and open issues. And I was asking the group whether you think it's more appropriate for the reader to have these questions and open issues item by item, for instance, on standing. To give you an example, is question and open issues on page 40, and then on page 41, there are several questions raised on this on the IRP section. And would you think it's more readable and easy for the community to respond if the questions are grouped at the end of the section, or provided and numbered as we read? I think that would be that's a question we've had with Becky at this point. So Caboos, I don't know if you have a feeling about this.
Yes, I suggest if colleagues agree, when we raise a title like question and answer and open issues, we should mention in relation with. So we show that these questions and open issues are in regard with what. So we have to give the subject. Otherwise, they have so many questions and open issues, we don't know what are the relevance of that. So perhaps it may tabulate that or give that under the title question and open issues in regard with, question and open issues in relation with, something like this. So if it is agreeable by colleagues, it is by way of suggestions only.
Thank you, Caboos. That's very constructive. Any other comments on that part? We've really spent a lot of time on this during the intense work days, so hopefully we have covered this. I see Jordan's comment on the risk of overloading with dozens and dozens of questions. I think that's a good point. We need to make sure these are very readable and engage the reader into providing comment, and the risk of overload is significant. Okay,
So seeing no further hand, I'd like to move maybe. Caboose, you have another comment?
Yes. Sorry, one small question. On 6.5, we started standards. Standings, yeah.
Yeah, standing.
Yeah, standing. And then we go to standard of review. So, standing is okay. But what is the standard of review? We are talking of, review does not have any standards. Review has logic, has reason. What does it mean by standard of review? What standard are you talking about? You are talking of logic, you are talking of what? Sorry.
So my understanding, and I'm not a native English speaker and let alone a lawyer, but was that this was a standard way of framing the question of what would reviews be, what standard the cases would be looked against. Steve, would you like to respond to that, or is that another comment?
Different comment. It's a different comment, Matthew, so
I don't
want to interrupt Caboose's train.
So I see Malcolm's precision that standard of review means the principles against which the instant case is measured to determine whether a complaint should be upheld. And thank you, Malcolm, because that was what I meant, but obviously my English is not as good. So Steve, for your comment.
Yes, thank you. This is with respect to standing, and standing is discussed with community questions on page 40. And we do say that any group or entity that's materially affected can have standing. And one of the very early things we did in work area 2, which was an inventory of all of the community suggestions, was that we said the community could have standing for a reconsideration or an independent review panel. And it's my belief that we've honored that throughout this, and that the community itself, constituted, say, a majority of members, would have standing to file for a reconsideration or an IRP. I simply wanted to confirm that, to make sure the document makes that clear, and especially whether Becky's team continued to believe that that was something we wanted to deliver. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. It's indeed important that we have confirmation of that, since we've used it as a basis principle in the stress test, for instance. Once again, Becky, if you're on the line now, please take the floor to intervene, but I think this is a good point. Greg?
Thank you. It's Greg Shatton, and I was actually going back to the prior question, which is the meaning of standard of review, which is a legal term of art, without usurping our counsel's job. I would explain it as being the level of deference that's given when an appeal is taken, the level of deference that the original decision is given. For instance, clearly erroneous or arbitrary and capricious. In other words, what standard does the this original decision have to, in essence, fail to meet before it can be overturned? At one end, you essentially have de novo review, where you give the original decision no deference whatsoever, and at the other end, you may have arbitrary and capricious, which is unless you the decision is can be shown to be arbitrary and capricious, it will be upheld, and the reviewing court or reviewing body doesn't have a lot of leeway to kind of revisit the decisions for itself. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. That's useful. I see next is Steve is back. Is that another?
Thank you, Matthew. Yeah, I wanted to follow up by suggesting that stress test number 13, it lives on page 87, pointed out the fact that there's a risk that one or several stakeholders who excessively rely on our accountability mechanisms could paralyze ICANN's ability to make decisions and move ahead. And we lay out the idea that our proposals for community empowerment rely upon supermajority, and we note the fact that our enhancements to IRP and reconsideration make them more accessible to aggrieved parties. So this is one of the stress tests that we don't score very, very well on, because we said some of our proposals will make the redress mechanisms more accessible and affordable to individual stakeholders, increasing their ability to block the implementation of policies and decisions. I guess defer is really what they're doing, blocking it temporarily. So we wrote on this stress test that the proposed measures may need to distinguish community standing from those available to individuals, community powers, and make those distinct from those available to individuals. And I point that out now because earlier the point I brought up on 6.5 with respect to does the community have standing, it's not entirely sure that we could if we have to prove that we as a community are aggrieved on the questions that are listed for that section. So Becky, I realize, is on another call and may not be able to come in on this, but let's not lose this key thought, is that the community may need the ability to say we as a community want to challenge the decision, as opposed to try to go find an aggrieved party. And let's be sure that the rules we're writing will allow the community to be the aggrieved party. And then secondly, do you think we have done enough to restrain and restrict the use of our accountability mechanisms for those who use them want to simply defer and potentially block policymaking? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I think we'll have to confirm that the community could have standing and confirm that with Becky and her group. But I would operate under this assumption until proved otherwise so far. But it's good that you've reminded us of this stress test 13 as well. Sébastien, you're next.
Thank you very much, Sébastien Bachelet. I heard the discussion about standard of review, and I am not sure that I understand something, but I would like very much that we try to find a way to keep the legality of the wording maybe outside of this, because if we want this to be discussed by the community, we need to have something not just for lawyers. And that's something for the whole document. We need to really be careful to write an understandable English and for everybody. That's not just for this point. And maybe we need to have some addendum to be more precise and more legal-oriented if we need so. But just keep in mind that we want to have as much as possible inputs from the community, and to do so we need a simple document. Thank you very much. Not simplistic, but a simple in English-wise document. Thank you.
Thank you, Sébastien. I think one contribution you can bring to that, if you can, is flag some of these items in the draft. If you're seeing an expression using this is too legalistic or a section, if you can flag it, then certainly that would be very useful. Okay, now we've gone back to our regular AC room display after the screen went wild. Before turning to Thomas, I'd like to just recap what I've heard on these sections. A few editorial comments. Obviously, we need to make sure we be very clear on the questions and open issues so that it's easy to read, but also easy to understand what the questions are about. We also need to confirm whether the community would have standing with Becky and her group, and that's a key question, but we're working on the assumption that this is the case. And we have highlighted, and I think that was for the whole document, that if Sébastien or others can point to areas of the document that are difficult to understand for non-specialists, certainly we need to make an effort to make this more accessible. And with that, I would like to now turn for the other sections, the next sections, to my fellow co-chair, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mathieu, and hello again, everybody. I would like to speak to section 6.6 now, which is on page 50 of the PDF that was circulated prior to the call. Heading is Community Empowerment, and I will guide you through the changes that we've made by shortly introducing the chapters and then giving Jordan the opportunity as rapporteur to be a little bit more specific, if need be, on the changes that have been made. So if you look at section 6.6.1, Mechanisms to Empower the Community, on the very same page, page 50, there are some introductory notes. And then 6.6.1.1 speaks to the reference model. You will remember that during the intense work days, we have discussed at length the pros and cons of the different models that we've put in front of the lawyers to review for us. And we have agreed that we would structure the report in a way that we have a reference mechanism, which is the membership model, and at the same time provide information on the designator model discussing the pros and cons. So the section that you find on pages 50, 51 actually speak to the rationale, and then end with the question of whether the community thinks that the introduction of a community mechanism to empower the community over certain board decisions would enhance ICANN's accountability. So with that, and before talking about the composition of the community mechanism and the voting power, I'd like to give Jordan the opportunity to add more detail to this introduction.
Thanks, Thomas. This was written up after our discussions in the intensive work day last week, and we tried to sort of, you know, it's really hard in all of this work to be very brief, but we tried to portray this reference mechanism as the current approach that we think will probably work, consistent with the legal advice that we've heard, and representing the other variations that were discussed. And so while the language is intended to convey the support of this as a reference model, it isn't designed to close off any other sort of possibilities. And I did my best in drafting the text to kind of capture the key points that are in paragraph D, because what I don't want people to think is that this involves sort of a competition between countries to sign up individual members and so on. But I don't know if the lawyers have reviewed the precise text here. So it's a couple of pages of new material for you to have looked at and to think about. Rather than going through it in any more detail than that, Thomas, I think it might be best if we have a discussion, unless people want me to step it through paragraph by paragraph.
No, let's just check whether whether members of the group do have questions, and I see the first hand going up, and that is by Kabu, so please, you have the floor.
Thomas, if you allow me, on 6611, paragraph B, I have one simple suggestion. I am not in favor of the retention of the word weaker variations. We opt for a variation, that is what we opt. And we don't need to qualify whether it is stronger or whether it is weaker. And we would not leave this impression that we take the weaker, and we will ask why you took the weaker. So why we have to mention between the weaker? So take the variation of the proposed power and so on and so forth. So do we need the weaker, the word weaker? Thank you.
Well, let me defer to Jordan whether he wants to stick to this language. Jordan?
I just think it's honest. If you read the whole sentence, with the status quo, the best we could do is then to incorporate weaker variations of the proposed powers, but they would be unlikely to be enforceable to the degree. So it's that lack of enforceability which I think reasonably defines them as weaker. If you left the word weaker out of that first line of that paragraph, it would still say they'd be unlikely to be enforceable. So the message would still be there, it would just be a little bit less explicit. And so I tried to go for language that would be very explicit and clear.
So let's wait for other contributors to support Tavus's point. And if that is the case, then we can continue discussions about that language. You will remember that we have gone about with all this requirements based, and I think that it's appropriate for us to have a value judgment on how good the proposed mechanisms do respond to the requirements that we have established. Next in the line is Sam Eisner. Sam, please.
Thank you. This is Sam Eisner. So I don't have any comments on the text as presented, nor on Cavus's point, but I do wonder if there's place for an additional section of balancing some of, or to lay out risks or benefits to the different models, because we ask a question at the end that says, you know, do you agree that a structural change might be a way to help enhance accountability? And I don't have any issues with that question either, but my sense is we're not really giving tools to evaluate the effects of a change or understanding if there are any detriments that follow with a change or if there are any sort of rights that inure to individual members that might go to capture issues that we haven't really discussed, that sort of thing. I don't know where we're going to be presenting some of the more particulars of that model and how we're expecting people to have inputs into that part.
Thanks, Sam. I think that's a very good question. Let me make an attempt to give you an answer, and I will give Jordan the opportunity to add to that. I think there's a times tough choice we have to make as to what contents we're taking to the body of the report and which content we lead to the appendices. And the full legal discussion you'll find in the legal memos that we're going to refer to or link to from the main body of the report. So I think the information is there, and I would appreciate if more members of the group would express their wish to highlight more of that discussion in the main body of the report. The second aspect is that we have the set of stress tests to ensure that we are not applying any changes that would themselves create additional contingencies, or in other words, we are double-checking whether the contingencies that we have identified are covered with the new accountability architecture. And so I would assume that if we are opening the floodgates for other scenarios of capture, we would find out once we do the second run through with the stress test. So this is my view on things. I would like to give Jordan the opportunity to add to that. And if Steve and Cheryl, as our masters of stress tests, would like to add to that, please raise your hand and I will then open it up for you. Jordan, would you like to add anything?
Oh, just really briefly. I mean, this goes right to the heart of the question of how much we set out and how much justification and so on we put. I'm not at all uncomfortable with the idea of trying to set out a little bit of the pros and cons of this model compared to the status quo, just to help give people an understanding of where it differs. That could usefully go in this section. But if we go much further than that, I think we're kind of tipping into a point of having to go much further than that with the whole report. So I don't, you know, that's kind of my instinctive feeling having just heard Ashton.
Thanks, Jordan. Robin, is your hand raised to speak to this point, or are you going to open up another point?
This is Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. It's on this section 6.6.1.1 that we're talking about now, but it's on the paragraph that is labeled I. And it just says, that said, the CCWG is clearly of the view that the reference mechanism is the currently preferred approach and relies on this in much of what follows. I feel like that sentence needs to be fleshed out a little bit more because, you know, we should say based on what criteria. I'm not objecting to the conclusion. I just feel like it's not fully articulated, it's not fully explained to the community why we reached the decision that we reached. And I think we want to say something along the lines of it's the legal analysis has come back that the enforceability is stronger, and something along those lines. But, I mean, I think that's what we want to say is, you know, based on that reason, or if there are other reasons, this is the reason why this is the reference model. Thank you.
Robin, this makes a lot of sense. Would you be okay with us maybe adding two sentences to this paragraph I, saying that, number one, the reference model is, or that all the group's requirements can be implemented with the reference model, and that it has advantages in terms of enforceability? Would these be the two points that you would agree with, to be happy with
yes.
the language?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so let's make this an action item in the notes to make sure it's not forgotten. And next in line is Caboose, please.
I request Jordan, perhaps instead of vehicle variation, using some other words, whether it's practical, whether it's pragmatic, whether it's less complex or something else, because vehicle variation, we are talking of the noun variations. We are talking of variants or variations. We are talking of vehicle options, or vehicle variation has a very ambiguous meaning. But I leave it to him, if possible, to find something else. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. And we will take note of that point and ensure that native English speakers will use the right language in order to bring across that nuance. Steve.
Thomas, I wanted to respond to a suggestion you put out with respect to stress tests, and I believe you were asking whether we could make a reference here in the document to the notion that we relied heavily on stress testing to assess whether the existing accountability mechanisms were adequate, and then separately whether the proposed methods were adequate. And the word adequate bears some explanation, and you can do that in one sentence that you could borrow from the bottom of page 74, and it says, the purpose of stress tests is to determine the stability of ICANN in the event of consequences or vulnerabilities, and to assess the adequacy of existing and proposed accountability mechanisms available to the community. And on page 75, we go one step further to say that we try to determine if the community has adequate means to challenge ICANN's reaction to a particular stress test. So in many cases, the stress tests and the proposed mechanisms do not actually stop ICANN from having a financial crisis or stop ICANN from being the victim of a cybersecurity attack. Instead, we say, does the community have the ability to help prevent that issue from happening, to mitigate it, or does the community have the ability to challenge the way the board reacts to that crisis? I mean, the favorite example was a financial crisis. If the board proposed to slash compliance spending, the community could veto the budget or challenge the decision to do so if it occurred in the middle of a year. So I could try to compose two sentences from the stress test section. And tell me again, where do you think you would want to insert them in the section we're discussing now? Thank you.
Steve, I guess that it's maybe... appropriate to ask Sam to chime on this question as well. The question raised by her was whether under the new model we would create new vulnerabilities and open the door to scenarios of capture. And I thought that particularly when it comes to capture, we do have a stress test on that. And I think that if our new accountability mechanisms would actually give reason to believe that we are facilitating capture, that we would find out when we run the stress test. Let's hear Mathieu first, and then Samantha has put us up.
I could do a follow-up on that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mathieu?
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. I was also wondering, when hearing Sam's comment, whether the group felt there was a need to further flesh out the pros and cons of the various options. And if that was the case, one option we have is this one-pager table of the various models and their summarized, the legal summary of what they empower the community to do and what are the pros and cons. So I was wondering whether this document, which is currently referenced to somewhere in the document and will be put in an appendix, could usefully be brought back into the main report to give more flesh to the various options and why we picked the one we picked as a reference at this point. But that's an idea that I'm sharing to make the report also more readable.
Thanks, Mathieu. I guess that's an excellent suggestion. So we will take good note of that. Mathieu was making reference to a comparison chart that was offered with one of the legal memos, and we will include that here. Let's please note that as an action item. And Sam, as you're preparing to talk, maybe you can also let us know whether you would be okay with us adding that table and whether that would sufficiently address your concern.
Thanks, Thomas. Yes, I fully support adding the table within here or a clear reference to the table. I think that your comment earlier, where you were recapturing the concern that you thought I stated, was spot on, and that is, have we made sure that we have updated the stress test to evaluate the model that we're proposing? And so, you know, particularly around capture, you know, I've never claimed to be an expert in membership, California membership law, and I've been trying to fight through and just figure out what this means. And, you know, from my perspective, one of the concerns that I'm starting to see is, you know, we've identified the membership model as a way to get the community to convene and empower the community, but I'm starting to wonder if there are individual membership empowerment issues that come in that haven't been considered yet and how that could impair or be an element of capture against the community or not towards an exercise of the community envisioned use of the powers. And so I think that those are, that could be something that I would like to see added within the stress test or issues like that, particularly focusing on the differences between individual member rights and the collective rights that we're trying to obtain in order to get the community having more say within the ICANN system.
Thanks, Sam. That's very helpful. Can I suggest that we end the queue after Izumi? I would encourage Sam and Steve to maybe establish direct contact with each other to make sure that we capture exactly what your concerns were. I think we have well understood that we should elaborate more on the pros and cons and maybe go beyond what's in the summary table that we made reference to earlier. Now I see Mathieu's hand up. Mathieu, you just spoke. Are we playing whack-a-mole now, or are you coming back?
No, it's just a response to Sam's question, not a response, actually, a comment, that I think Sam is outlining a question that many will ask us. And because by empowering the community, we're actually raising the question, how about what if the community gets captured? And that's very, I wanted just to stress the link between this question and the comment we had from Jan R. Scholter saying, yes, but this is the group will at some point need to work on the community accountability because it has it is raising this risk. And I just wanted to stress, and we're not going to solve this before the public comment, apart from what you suggested, Thomas, that I think this question we hear a lot when we go for public comment. So we should definitely mark this as something we need to work on very carefully in the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, Mathieu. Izumi?
Izumi speaking. Excellent sharing of the possible issues. So I agree with the suggestions that have been made by Sam so far. I think it would be helpful and for the community to consider what are the models being considered, pros and cons, and to consider cons. I actually wanted to raise something else. I have a comment for the text related to F. And I just wonder if it would be helpful for me to just put this on the chat and have it discussed, or I don't know, better for me to follow up later with the Vice Redline. I just want to confirm about what would be the best for the group to consider this point. I do have the text for a suggestion.
So, Izumi, you are speaking to subsection F on page 54.
F2 is what I see. It's about designators.
I would strongly suggest that you send your comments to the list, but please do introduce the issue that you see so that the whole group has the opportunity to chime in.
Okay, sure. I'll do that, and I just want to share why I want to suggest a text change. I think the description here is not fully explaining the designator model, fully the situation of the designator model, so I just want to add the description that, in my opinion, is more accurate and I would say objective. So that's my that would be the reason behind my suggestion. So I'll send this to the mailing list if that helps.
Thank you, Izumi. I guess there are no issues whatsoever with being a little bit more explicit on the description of the designated model. So thank you for that. And with that, I would suggest we move to the next subsection. And I'm currently looking at 6.6.1.2, which is on page 53, and that is the chapter Influence of the Community Mechanism. And we have, again, a reference option with 5 votes each for ASO, CCNSO, GNSO, and at large, as well as GAC, and 2 votes for SEC and RSEC. And as discussed, or as asked for during the intensive work days, we have reached out to both ESSEC and RSEC to present them with the reference option. We also made reference to the other options that have been discussed. So they have received an excerpt from the draft report, and we've offered to them that we would be more than willing to discuss this with them to hear their feedback. Apart from that, I think, again, it's important to note that we have laid out the options and that we've explained the rationale for the options, you know, maybe geographical diversity with the number 5, etc. So, and also the reason why we've given a different weight to ESSEC and RSEC opposed to the other groups. So I think that the text is quite easy to read, and as we did with the previous section, I would like to give the opportunity to Jordan to add to it.
Well, Thomas, just really to say that this was considerably improved, I think, by the discussion that we had in the intensive work days, where we agreed to do the reference option, as you've said, and to set out the alternatives. And we did agree to do the kind of explanation of the rationale, if not necessarily the pros and cons for these that are set out there. So I don't think that, I hope that it captures what we discussed accurately, but that would be the key point to discuss now, I think, whether there are any adjustments to language are needed to what's there.
Thanks, Jordan. Izumi, I think that's an old hand, so you might wish to lower it. Robin is next.
Thank you. This is Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. I just wanted to add something to paragraph F here on page 54 that explains rationale for alternative A, or the San Francisco proposal. So the explanation it gives there at the end is it is therefore more closely aligned with the existing structure of ICANN. So I would just add to that, and in keeping ICANN rooted in the private sector, because that was also one of the reasons that alternative was proposed, based on the existing structure of ICANN and also based on keeping it rooted in the private sector.
Thanks, Robin. Unless we hear or read objection to that addition, can I ask you to please put that exact language into the chat, and we will make sure that it's incorporated into the draft. Next is Caboose.
I agree with Robin. I do not support to adding rooted to the private section and so on and so forth. Let us not talk about that. We are talking of democracy, we are talking of openness, we are talking of inclusiveness, and we should not favor a particular category of the society, privacy or technical or so on and so forth. So I suggest not to add that part. I'm sorry, Robin, please apologize.
Thanks, Caboose. I would still like to encourage Robin to send her suggested language to the group so that more people can chime in. So I've seen some support for the addition of Robin's language, so I suggest that we keep that open for the moment and allow for more comments to come in before making a final determination on the language. But Caboose, your point is well heard. Thank you for that. And I think Robin's hand is an old hand, so that we can now move to Sebastian.
Thank you, Thomas. Sebastian. Yeah, just a question. It's more a private organization when you have less voice of the end user? Question mark. Thank you very much.
Sebastian, what suggested alternative language would you like us to include?
I am not suggesting an alternative, but I am not sure that the two proposals are one to be more private than the other. Maybe it's because there are more GAC members in the second proposal, but you have also more users, and that's very important. And we already expressed that we think that at large we'll be more favorable with the option with five representatives from the end user. But I don't want to see that the other proposal will be more into the private sector. It will be more into the provider side of the private sector, maybe, but it's why I disagree with the proposal. Thank you. And sorry, Robin, for this.
Sebastian, thanks for your comment. As Robin is suggesting her language, can I please ask you to come up with concrete alternative language that we can put in front of the group? You know, I understand your comment, but I would not be certain as to what changes to the report would be required to reflect your concern. So please come up with suggested language, and then we can gladly discuss it. So I see no more hands raised, which is why I think we can now move to a point that we can likely go through faster, and that is 6.6.2 on page 54 of the PDF, which is the power to reconsider, reject budget or strategy or slash operating plans. And Jordan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there was only one minor edit that has been administered to that section.
I think that you're right, Thomas. I'm just trying to find exactly what it is. In fact, the main edit has been to add the question and to delete the question mark that we had raised for drafting about the open set of grounds.
There weren't any, it has to do with the grounds, yes.
Changes that I picked up from the, yeah. So there weren't any other changes that I picked up.
Okay, excellent. So I don't see any hands raised, but should you go through the text and find more items to comment on, by all means, we can go back to that. But for the time being, I suggest we move to section 6.6.3 to be found on page 56. And that's the community power to reconsider slash reject changes to ICANN's standard bylaws. We have changed the language to reflect more accurately what standard bylaws are opposed to what we call fundamental bylaws. But Jordan, you will have more detail to add to that.
Not really. We had to change the examples in subparagraph A of 6.6.3 because the examples that we had given were ones that were going to be fundamental bylaws. So we changed them to things that aren't currently planned to being that, and then we just updated the language and added the question. So once again, nothing further.
Okay. So that allows us to move to the next section, 6.6.4. The power to approve changes to fundamental bylaws. The heading is to be found on page 56. The substance of the article is on page 57, and there was one minor edit to that section. Jordan?
To be honest with you, can't really see any substantive edit as well either. Like there was a reference to an assumption about what Working Party 2 was doing, but we do have the fundamental bylaws set out in another part of the report now, so that drafting box went away, reference has been updated, and a question has been added about these powers. So that's all.
That just shows how minor the edit was. Thank you for that, Jordan. Cavus's hand is up. Cavus.
Put it between inverted comma. Wouldn't it be possible that we, at least for the time being, having an asterisk above the standards and below, in front of asterisk, mention non-fundamental to distinguish what we mean by standards? This is one point. The other point, in the CWG and discussions, I have also encountered with some terms which called typical bylaw. So just I want to draw your attention that what is there. But I would be very much appreciated if we put a standard explanation means non-fundamental. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. We take note of that. And again, I would defer to native English speakers to find the most appropriate language for us to use there. But your point is noted. Thank you for that. We can then move to the next community power, which is 6.6.5, the power to recall individual ICANN directives, and that is starting on page 57. We had some changes to that section as well as to the next section, particularly to reflect the discussion that we had on the nominating committee. Isn't that right, Jordan?
Sorry, I missed your question. The 6.6.5 has been updated to try to take into account the language that we discussed around the nominating committee. And what I tried to do with that drafting, which starts, it's most visible in paragraph E, is just to reflect the discussion that we had in a way that would convey the sense of it without really closing it off. So it kept the petition model. It set out that the NomCom would be the structure, that there were some options for the composition, and then it asked for feedback. So that was what I was trying to do, not to close it down, but to present the options and to suggest an advantage and a disadvantage, and then to ask for the input there.
Excellent. I would suggest that we open it up for comments in combination with 6.6.6, we do not know whether it's merely coincidence that recalling the board as the nuclear option is tagged with the number 666, but that will change when we move the first five sections into appendices. But that's going to be some nice history to the staff report. Jordan, would you like to add anything to this section? Because I think the discussion has been quite comparable with respect to the nominating committee, where we had the same discussion or an analogous discussion. Jordan?
No, I don't. I'm not trying to. I don't think I've got anything else to add here. There were, as I recall, fewer changes to this text around removing the ICANN board, or recalling the ICANN board. That's the language you're using, recalling the board individual directors. I don't think there's anything more to say particularly here.
Thanks, Jordan. We have two hands raised.
Thomas, this is Becky. I just wanted to let you know I am on the audio now, although not in the room.
Thank you so much, Becky. We will surely get back to you to ask you about one open question with respect to the section that was worked on by your team. But let's first go to the queue, and Cavus, and then Alan will get the opportunity to speak.
Thomas, I'm very sorry. Since we have to work together in future, I am not very comfortable with your comments that let's leave it to an English-spoken people. An English-spoken person does not necessarily is in full command of English, and a non-English-spoken person does not necessarily need to be corrected at every instance. I'm very, very sorry. Please don't take it serious, I'm complaining to you, but please kindly do not repeat that. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. I should add that my comment was in no way suggesting that you're not in full command of the English language. Rather, I wanted to clarify that I'm not the ideal person to determine whether the suggested language should be adopted or not. So I think, you know, your point is well made. I will resist the temptation of making reference to native speakers versus non-native speakers. Your point is well noted, and we will work on those questions between today and the next updated draft. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I'm speaking on Section G on the NomCom. First of all, just on a purely mechanical thing, the last sentence of G2 either option is legally viable, I think is referring to one and two. Therefore, should not be part of two. It should be a sentence below or something like that. However, it says such a recall committee would have as chair a previous NOMCOM chair and would otherwise be formulated on the same basis as the regular NOMCOM, other than the composition. The regular NOMCOM is appointed a year ahead of time. Are we talking about this being a standing group that will be appointed every year by the various groups in case there is a need for it? Is it going to be done on an ad hoc basis when there is a need? I think you need clarity, because by saying it's done on the same basis as the regular NOMCOM, you're putting in place a whole bunch of infrastructure and work to be done by all the ACs and SOs for something that may never be used. So I think we need a bit of clarity there. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Let me suggest that we take this point offline. We have a lot of expertise on NOMCOM in this group, and even with staff, you will remember that Adam Peake was also on the NOMCOM. Avery, who was the author of the suggestion that you will remember was in the gray box in the earlier draft, will surely be more than happy to work with you on adding detail to it if need be. I think your point is well made. I'm not sure whether we need that level of specificity at this stage, but I'll leave it up to the NOMCOM experts, so to speak, to come up with a suggested language that we can put in front of the whole group.
Yeah. For clarity, we may not need the level of specificity, but you may want to remove the phrase that says everything else is the same.
And I don't object to that. I would just encourage you to liaise directly with Cheryl, for example, who has conveniently raised her hand. Cheryl, the floor is yours.
Sorry, went to speak and I have needed to clear my throat. I apologize. Cheryl for the transcript record. The point Alan raises actually, and as you know, this part did give me great discomfort, less so in the way it's written now, but just a point, for example, if it is a parallel group, standing or otherwise, we also need to recognise that that's another, 20-plus people who will be affected by some very particular regulations and limitations about what you can and can't do in the rest of your ICANN world if you are a NOMCOM person. And that may also need to be considered. Don't want to get down into the minutiae, but, for example, it would take out of any leadership role for anybody that anyone is that a NOMCOM appoints to, anyone who was involved in such a committee, as they are now in the NOMCOM, for certainly a minimum of 12 full calendar months after their service. There's a lot of stuff to this, so perhaps remaining silent on that formed in exactly the same way basis as might be softened to could be considered to be formulated on, because if that gets hard-coded in, boy, you guys are going to have a whole world of complications to deal with. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. And I guess all of us have a lot of complications to deal with in the new ICANN world, if you wish. I still suggest that we take this offline to come up with suggested language. Nonetheless, I do want to give Avi the floor as the drafter of the original proposal.
Thanks. Avi speaking. Yeah, I'm fine with working on, anyone to try and get into that next level of detail. I'm fine if we want to bracket this text and give it a footnote saying details to be worked out. I would probably argue that, for the most part, things should remain the same, and yet anybody willing to kick somebody off the board should be limited. But Cheryl's absolutely right. It would be reasonable to go through the details and make sure they did all apply. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. That's very helpful. Jordan is pointing out that we might not need all these details for the first public comment, so I leave it up to the colleagues that have spoken or that have an interest, in this matter, whether they want to work on refined language between today and Thursday, or whether we leave it to the next version or our final recommendation. So with that, I've done my bit on the mechanism and powers, and I'd like to hand it over to Leon for chairing the next section of the call.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Leon again. And, well, with regards to point 6.7, section 6.7 in our document, this refers to incorporating the affirmation of commitments into the ICANN bylaws. There have been different edits to the document. I think the most relevant is the one that has been incorporated into the affirmation of commitments 8B. And we have also made some edits to the question that is, of course, open for the public comment at the end of the 6.7.1 section. And there have also been some edits on section 6.7.2, which is the incorporation of the affirmation of commitment reviews. And there have been some edits to the proposed language through these on this new document. And I think it would be useful if we could have one of our rapporteurs give us a little bit more details on this. So I'd like to hand it to Steve Del Bianco to take us through the details on these edits that I just mentioned. Steve, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. With respect to the affirmation of commitments, paragraphs 3, 4, 7, and 8, we changed words like commit or will to shall when you move them into the bylaws. We ended up on paragraph 4 saying it's financial or non-commercial, to get rid of non-commercial. Leon brought up what we did on paragraph 8, and that's important with respect to whether or not the principal office in Los Angeles is something that is part of the fundamental bylaws or the standard or regular bylaws. And then moving into the affirmation of reviews, the first thing we did was add a statement from Sebastian to say that the group must be as diverse as possible. And that's present on page 65, describing the review teams that we use for the affirmation. The group must be as diverse as possible. And then with respect to each of the reviews, I took Alan Greenberg's suggestion, which seemed very well supported, is to say that each of the four reviews is given explicit power to review and assess the extent to which its prior recommendations were implemented. As opposed to assigning all of that to the ATRT, each of the four teams looks at its prior recommendations and the degree of implementation and whether they're working. There was also one more comment, which a lot of folks were confused with the frequency of the reviews. So we standardized, so they're all no less frequently than 5 years. The one that is exceptionally different than that is the third review on new GTLD rounds. And on that one, there's a review 1 year after a round of new GTLDs is in the root, and a periodic review of no less frequently than every 5 years. Those are the changes taking you all the way through 6.7. Leon, back to you.
Thank you very much for this, Steve. And now I'd like to open the floor for comments, and I see Kevus hand us up. Kevus, could you please take the floor?
Hello? Do you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Yes, with respect to this GTLD and the 1 year after, I wish to insert the word normally 1 year after. That means we provide some sort of exceptional cases that we may face some difficulty that we could not meet that 1 year. So we introduce normally, shall normally be 1 year. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Kevus. Next on the queue, I have Avery. Avery, could you please take the floor?
Avery, can you be on mute?
Oh, sorry, I was still mute. I wanted to make one point on, this is Avery speaking, I wanted to make one point on 672, and I see Jordan's note about not having included the outcome from yesterday's on-list discussions, but I just wanted to point to that fourth bullet on A of 672, which on my copy is around line 16 of 64, and which says require the ICANN board to approve and implement. That line needs to be one of the things that changes, because we're not in any sense, even after yesterday's discussion, requiring the board to approve and implement. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this, Avery. I don't see anyone else wanting to comment on this, so after reviewing this and with the walkthrough that Steve kindly gave us through the edits that were incorporated into the document, I think we can move to our next point, which would be 7, which is the stress tests. And, 6.8, which is the bylaws changes suggested by the stress tests. And there's a little edits on this section, but there's one that's key, and it's the one that refers, of course, to the GAC. And again, I would like to call upon Steve, if you could give us the details on the edit that was made to this section.
Thank you. There were no changes to 681 on forcing board to respond to formal advice from any AC. But on 682, which is the infamous stress test 18 on GAC advice, the stress test text was from several weeks ago, and it had referred to the fact that the proposal was to give due deference only to GAC consensus advice and to enshrine the definition of consensus that the GAC was presently using. The conclusion we came to was it weren't going to require forevermore that today's definition of consensus had to be living forever. We wanted to let the GAC choose how it arrives at consensus. So on the right-hand column of page 73 at the top of the table, we removed the words in there that had said before, articulating the GAC's current method of consensus. The current method of consensus in the GAC is understood to mean the practice of adopting a decision by general agreement in the absence of any formal objection. We realize the GAC may, at some point in the future, change how it does that to reach consensus decisions. And when it does so, we at ICANN will be obliged to try and find a mutually acceptable solution where the GAC is truly using some kind of consensus to formulate its advice. That is the only other change to that section, Leon.
Thank you very much for this, Steve.
If you have a face-to-face, the likelihood of me actually getting into the room is extremely small.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. I didn't quite get that.
Sorry, that's me being two calls at once and not having both things muted. My apologies, Leon.
Okay, thank you. So I see Kavu's hand is up, so Kavu's, could you please take the floor?
Yes, Leon. Are we discussing 682?
Yes.
Yes. In 682, in the right-hand column, I see the word, I'm sorry, I have not catch that before. The text, it says that but ICANN bylaws would require due deference only to advice that have GAC consensus. What do we mean by due deference? Difference between what? Between the non-consensus and consensus advice? What means due deference? What means due? So I would like some clarification, because it's a very important issue. So perhaps Steve could comment what he meant by this due difference. He says bylaws, we are talking of the standard bylaws, right? Or we are talking of the fundamental bylaw? Which bylaw we are talking? Number two, there are two questions. Which bylaw, and then what we mean by due difference between what and what? Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Cavuz. And I see Steve is already on the queue, and I believe he wants to comment, of course, on what you just raised.
Thank you. The words due deference were first identified in the second column of that table, Cavuz, where we identify the current method, and we explain what we mean by due deference to GAC advice, including the requirement to try to find a mutually acceptable solution. So the word due deference for that refers to the current process of trying to find a mutually acceptable solution. So what we are suggesting in the third column is that our proposal is that that kind of deference would only be there for consensus advice that came from the GAC, as opposed to any advice that came from the GAC. And that's what due deference is meant to. And if it's confusing, I could spell out the entire phrase, the requirement to try to find a mutually acceptable solution. The second question you had was which bylaws. If you look below the table, Cavuz, in letter B, we are proposing an Article 11, Section 2 bylaws change, Article 11, Section 2, adding just one phrase, which is bold and underlined, and it says, with respect to government advisory committee advice that is supported by consensus. So that change would be to Article 11. And Jordan, I don't believe Article 11 was among the bylaws section that are being designated as fundamental, but I'll turn it over to you for that.
No, I don't think it was intended to be fundamental.
Thanks, Sherman. Thanks, Steve. Next in the queue, I have Alan Greenberg. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, I'd like some clarity. First of all, Steve, exactly what was changed in this version?
In the table, I'll go ahead and answer that, Leon. So in the stress test 18, which was written many, many weeks ago, at the time, we had – should I go or not?
Yes, please. I'm just trying to understand what column you're changing.
Yeah, so the third column on the stress test on page 73, third column where we describe the stress test. That stress test in the very first sentence used to say, to give due deference to GAC consensus advice, comma, and indicate the definition of consensus that the GAC uses presently. So, Alan, you understand that presently their definition, which is in the column right beside you, is the absence of any formal objection. So we were initially, many weeks ago, proposing locking in that definition as the only definition that would require a consultation for a mutually acceptable solution. That doesn't jive with the text you see below under B, because we are allowing the GAC to define how it arrives at consensus, as opposed to saying that forevermore, the only way you can arrive at consensus is the way you do it today. I hope that helps.
I think so. I'm not sure you now have a but there. If the GAC changes Principle 47 to say consensus is now understood to be a majority view, that is consensus. So the
I highly doubt that we as a community got it. Does the community believe that there's a risk that the GAC would be so clever as to say that a simple majority voting is what we mean by consensus? Conversations that we've had at several previous meetings indicated a very low, if any, risk that that could happen with the majority of governments. If you think that is a significant risk, then we'll have to change the language.
Okay. What I was pointing out is I think your sentence with a but in the middle is not a but. It should not be a but, because I think the two things are complementary. But I'll leave it be.
Thanks, Alan. Next in the queue, I have Cavuz. Cavuz, could you please take the floor?
Replying to Alan, I don't think it is not excluded, but I don't think that GAC changed the meaning of consensus to mean the majority, because in the current Principle 47, it's mentioned, consistent with the United Nations practices, consensus understood to mean that the practice of adopting decisions by general agreement in the absence of any formal objection. So I don't think that majority is qualified for this meaning. Therefore, I don't think that this meaning of consensus, at least as far as GAC is concerned, would be changed in saying that majority means consensus. Majority is majority, and consensus is consensus. And I have doubt that Jack goes along the line with other constituency of ICANN when they have these very strange things like soft consensus and rough consensus, something like this. The GAC was quite clear, in line with the United Nations practices. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Caboose. I'm mindful of the time, so I think we should continue with our agenda. And next agenda item would be, of course, going through the stress test section. And I think the most important change here is that there were some edits to language, and I just would like to call on Steve to confirm whether these are the edits that were made to this section of the document. Steve, could you please confirm whether these were the edits that were incorporated to the text?
Yes, we've... The stress test team has not yet reviewed all of this. We're scheduled to do that tomorrow morning. But over the past few days, we ran through and tried to update the stress tests, not only for the mechanisms we are proposing in the CCWG, but also for the mechanisms that the CWG put out for public comment last week. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. And, well, with that, I think I... and if there are no comments, of course, I'm... stress test section, I would like to turn back to Matthew for section 8 of the document. Matthew, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much, Leon. This is Matthew Bay speaking. So after section 7 on the stress test, if you go to page 94, you will see the items for consideration for Workstream 2 and the edits. On page 95, we have provided our, the inclusions of the discussions we've had on the intent work days, so this language proposed by Sebastian about diversity, as well as the language on transparency proposed by Avery, and they have been reflected in the list of items for consideration into Workstream 2. I am seeing Robin's hand raised, so please, Robin.
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. I noticed you were just going over the items for consideration within Workstream 2 that had been added from our last call there on page 95. And we're omitting one, and that would be the whistleblower policy. We were going to add that issue to Workstream 2, and so that needs to be added to this document as well. And I'd also like to propose a new issue to add there, and that would be looking at ICANN's conflicts of interest policy and seeing how that relates to accountability. So that's on the items for consideration. Now, right just up above that, we've got a recommendation, and it says that we recommend that the board adopt a transitional article in its bylaws which would commit ICANN to confirm the relevant CCWG recommendations and task the group with investigating potential enhancements to ICANN's accountability. So I've got sort of 2 points about this particular recommendation. One is, when we say the relevant CCWG recommendations, does that mean that some of them are non-relevant? Are any of our recommendations non-relevant? Might this particular wording leave room for the board to pick and choose recommendations based upon what it considers relevant in order to implement? And then the other bone that I want to pick with this recommendation is where it says investigating potential enhancements. I think we're here to do more than just investigate potential enhancements. I think we're here to, in fact, reform them, to fix them. So I think we need to be more explicit than we have the power to do more than just investigate enhancements. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Regarding the recommendation, these are very good comments, and if you have suggested wording, I think they would be worthwhile considering to improve the way it's currently framed. But obviously, for instance, the relevant recommendations was pointing to the Workstream 2 recommendation by opposition of the Workstream 1. I think you're right to spot this. The whistleblower item, you are right to say that this was mentioned in the intense work day, so I think this is an omission. And you're bringing a new topic, which I would be interested to hear about the group about, because I think this is the first time we're addressing this. So there are a lot of thanks for your input, and I see Caboose is next.
A relevant recommendation. You put it in the correct terms. You could say that recommendation relevant to work stream 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Thomas?
Yeah, we can surely take this offline, but with respect to the conflicts of interest policy, I would be interested in learning what amendments or enhancements to that Robin would have in mind. You know, my recollection is that that ICANN worked a lot on the conflicts of interest policy, I think, after the Cartagena meeting a few years back, and I would perceive it as being quite robust, and I would, you know, before asking for amending that explicitly, I would like to better understand what the rationale for that request would be.
Thank you, Thomas. Maybe what I can suggest, Robin, is that you state the case for addressing this particular item on the mailing list so that we can see if there's traction for the putting that in our initial list on Workstream 2. And obviously, this is just an initial list at this point. Sebastian, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Mathieu. It's Sebastian Bachelet. To answer or to try to answer the question of Thomas, I just want to take one example. When you have a conflict of interest within the board of ICANN, it's still within the board of ICANN by the same people, and you don't have any outside appeal mechanism, for example. And I really think that there's some enhancement possible about the conflict of interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. I hope we can get a discussion going on that aspect on the mailing list to check whether the group's maturity is that this should be considered, and I'm not taking any position on that right now. So thanks for those considerations. I am mindful of time. The one last item I would like to take you through is our first draft, and this is really a first draft on the implementation plan and timeline. So we have inserted the updated timeline provided by Barry. Obviously, on the AC room, this is not really easy to read, but you'll see it in the document more easily. And one other aspect we have inserted, and that's new, is the next steps, but especially the implementation section, where we have received input from it's currently not in the section 9.3. Oh, that's weird. So we are working currently on a section 9.3 enhancement, I'd say. Yes, it was, I'm getting lost between different threads of conversation. We're working on section 9.3 enhancements to take into account the recent communication by the lawyers about how much time it would take to actually propose the draft language to implement the recommendations. And we've also taken into account some input by staff, and especially Sam Eisner, about how much time it would take for a bylaw change to be to pass through the various board decisions plus the public comment and so on. And I think this will be a useful addition to our report, because obviously this will given information about the lead time, the time between approval and implementation, and that's absolutely key to some of the stakeholders expecting our report. So we are working on this, and this is definitely still open, so we'll have to we'll share this quite soon after this, I think, in the next version of this document. But I think it's important for our group because it's going to be a question we'll have often. And you'll see that in the timeline, you will note that there is the second public comment as discussed in the intense work days. On the implementation, that would be all. I think we will have to, in terms of next steps, I'm going to, and Sabina, yes, we will put the various steps in plain text so that it's readable for a human being. In terms of next steps for our group, Kavus, is that a question on the timeline and implementation plan or next steps?
The first paragraph, second line says, ops aim at being. I think I suggest to replace that in order to be in a position, not ops aim at being, in order to be in a position to have and so on and so forth. This is the change of text, but I wonder if we publish our document on 5th of May, we have 1 month, 5th of June. Between 5th of June, we are in a position to make an analysis of the comments and how we prepare to be available for the people before the start of the ICANN meeting. Do we have sufficient time to do that?
Thanks for this question, Kavus. This is obviously going to put a lot of pressure on staff to analyze the comments, put them into the tables and so on, and on us to provide a thorough analysis in a very short amount of time. But this is feasible. It's not easy, but it's feasible, based on experience, of course. So next steps for our group. We have planned an extra meeting on Thursday, and I think we will need this call. So the invites have been sent. The idea of this call is to have, number one, a final review of the text for the outstanding discussions we've had and highlighted today, for instance, but any other that might come up. We will benefit from the outputs of the stress test working party meeting, which takes place tomorrow. So we will have a close to final version of the stress test. And I think that's important in light of Sam's comment earlier. And the third item we'd like to get to is engagement material. It is very important that when we go for public comment, we also provide the community with easy-to-read tools and materials so that the proposals do not get misunderstood. And we've been working with ICANN Communications and Explain, the group who provided us with the graphical designs of the accountability mechanisms earlier. And so we will also, we hope, by Thursday to be in a position to share some early material so that we can share that with you on Thursday. And then obviously when we launch the report for public comment, we already have the material published at the same point. And I think this is very important for our proposals to be well understood. So a new version would be circulated tomorrow, I hope quite early, so that everyone has time to review. It hopefully be going to be including a red line version based on this to show the edits we've been making after this call, and there were a lot of very good edits to be brought forward in the meeting, and that's the anticipated next steps. I see Cavus hand up, so please, Cavus.
Pending, and that was a comment from Robin in relation with replacement of guaranteed with initial word which was commitment or committed. That was pending. I think that will be resolved. And second, I may miss the point. Did you address the issue of acronyms? Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Early in this call, I think it was Leon who mentioned that the glossary was being worked on so that we avoid acronyms as much as possible, but also try and provide explanations for any words that we would use that wouldn't be very explicit, including acronyms.
And guaranteed and commitment will be also addressed?
That is one of the points we need to update
okay.
the report on.
Good. Thank you.
And seeing Jorge's question about the before-after chart diagram, I'm not sure we can do that in the early engagement material, but that's still something we'd like to pursue to be able to do that. Not sure it's going to be the early material, but it's still an idea we have in our list for clarity. Are there any other questions on the next steps or my fellow co-chair? Did I forget something?
I think we're good.
Well, if we're good, then I think I would like to thank you all for your contributions, the constructive spirit across this call, and we look forward to further exchanges on this while finalizing this text, and talk to you on Thursday at 500 UTC. So goodbye, everyone, talk to you very, very soon.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.